Glory to God. We can't praise him too much. He's done too much for us. And he's continuing to do it. He's not going to stop. He's the immutable one, the one that don't change. Come on, God, some praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Pastor's been talking about corporate ministry. If you were here this week, this past week, our evangelist, Reverend Grant, was also talking about and demonstrating corporate ministry.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you about a little something, how God has been working with this. About 3 weeks ago, or 4 weeks ago, I believe it was, Sister Gardner, the first lady of our church, got up. And she began to minister. I'm getting ready to minister. And it shocked me at first because God had given us the same thing.
Amen.
We had not talked. We had not communicated. But God moved in that direction. Now, I'm not going to go to the same place that she went. If you listen to God, God will direct you. So we're going to look at the byproduct of what she started.
Come on now.
We're going to look at that. If I had a title for this message, I would ask a question. Death, what is it? Death, what is it? Romans 5 and 12, it says, wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law was in the world, sin was not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned according to the similitude of Adam's transgression. Come on, give God some praise. Well, again, it says, wherefore, as by one man, as through one human being, sin entered, the man failed to hit the mark. He failed to follow the instruction that God gave to him by not eating of the tree. Well, the woman ate of the tree. She turned and gave to her husband, who was standing there with her.
Yeah, man.
The instruction was to him, he allowed her to eat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Amen.
This man was already up to no good. We won't go too far in that. But the point of it was, by him, sin entered into the world. The world's talking about the arrangement that God had made. The world was beautiful. It had no sin.
Right.
Had no death in it. Until the man opened the door to it and sin entered. And by that sin, death came in. So death passed upon all men, or passed to all men, upon all human beings, because all have sinned. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Meaning, all have the sin nature and are incapable of producing the excellence that God is.
Come on now.
Because of one man, he became the door. He became the door. One man became the door. So death passed through because all was in Adam. Even so, now we are all in Christ.
Amen.
The second man, Adam. See, there's your counterpart. A lot of folks look at Lucifer being the counterpart. Lucifer is not the counterpart. The counterpart is the man. The first man, Adam, was natural. Or he became natural. He started out spiritual.
Come on now, tell it.
He started out spiritual.
Amen.
But he became natural through his own ideas and intellect. We're going to go back once again. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered, the old nature entered, into the world with the purpose of reaching and touching everything and everyone.
Yeah. Amen.
So death by that sin, so death passed through upon or unto all human beings because of what Adam did. Now, 13, it says, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin was not imputed when there is no law. In other words, sin was out there, but it couldn't be charged.
Amen. Right. Amen.
Nobody could hold you accountable for it. Because there was no law. But nevertheless, in spite of the fact that you couldn't be charged with it, death still took people.
Come on now.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh.
Amen.
Death still took people. Mm-hmm. It took the innocent.
Yeah.
It took the idiot. In other words, those who were mentally challenged. Don't know right from wrong, but it took them anyway.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Despite the fact that you couldn't be charged with it, because of what was going on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was not imputed because there was no law, but it reigned. In other words, Adam reigned.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Adam reigned, and that death passed through from the origin point. In other words, Adam became the origin point of death.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
amen.
Yeah, yeah.
Death reigned from him. He was the source. It motioned out from him until he got to Moses. When you get to Moses, now you get the law that governs. Now you have a choice. But it reigned over them that had not sinned or transgressed after the likeness of Adam's breaking the law. Now, this once again, this was not an accident. Folks, a lot of folks think this was an accident. Go to Romans, the first chapter. Pastor already mentioned part of it, but we're going to look at just a portion of the scripture here. It's important to you, once again, to know who your enemy is and how to combat him. Now, it's not a lot of preaching, but it's teaching, because you got to understand what your enemy is and how to fight. Okay? I always use a football analogy. Pittsburgh Steelers, they use what they call a zone blitz. What that means is instead of your four down defensive linemen, instead of attacking from that point, they'll send attackers from the safety. They'll drop other people back in cover. So you don't know where the attack is coming from. You can't fight up against that team with another team that doesn't use that. You're going to go in there and you're going to mess up. So God has given us a strategy. God has given us the wisdom to overcome this. Even so, just because of what this man did, we still have a way out.
Yeah.
Come on, give God some praise.
Amen.
Romans 1 and 19. It says, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has showed it unto them. Who's he talking about? The man and the woman. God, what was known about God, that he was love, that he was joy, that he was peace, that he was long-suffering, that he was a healer, was manifested in them. They knew God. They became acquainted with God. Bible says that in the cool of the day, God will come down and walk and talk with Adam. So Adam knew exactly who God was. He knew exactly what God was all about. And that nature and character was manifested in him. Adam had dominion over all things.
Amen.
Even today, we still call the lion a lion because of what Adam did in the garden.
Right.
Everything that man established came into being because he had the authority. So because when they knew God, the problem was they began not to glorify him as God anymore.
Right.
Say that.
Neither were they thankful, but they became empty.
Yeah.
See, the life of God is in us. We sustain that life by this word.
Right.
Amen.
You sustain the life of God through and by the word. That's why it's important for you to study your Bible for yourself. I'm going to say this and I'll say it again. Studying your Bible is not looking at the television set.
Man.
Well, say that. That's not studying your Bible. A lot of times you get in a 30-minute infomercial. But they tell you what something's good going to happen, but in the meantime, you got to pay for all this stuff to get that. And then when the program goes, they just go in and you get 2 minutes. Now, how's that 2 minutes going to help you?
Come on now.
But when you open up your Bible, you open up this word, God can speak to you personally. Because let me tell you something. Sometimes we don't get it right.
Amen.
I'm just telling you just like it is. Sometimes we don't get it right. And it's up to you as a born-again believer to know your God.
Amen.
You have to know him for yourself. Why? Because each one of us has a different experience. Each one of us had a different time and experience with God, and mine is not yours and yours is not mine, so that we can't get it confused. Because the way he talks to you, I might not listen to it. Because I don't recognize it. I recognize the way God talks to me. The same way with a parent. Parent can have a bunch of children, but that one child that he's talking to knows, and he'll leave the other ones playing and go and see what mom and daddy want. Why? Because he has that recognition. We have to have that recognition with God.
Amen.
Now, they knew God, but they began not to glorify him. In other words, they no longer thought highly of him. See, folks running around talking about, I'm blessed and I'm highly favored. We're all blessed and we're all highly favored. Let me tell you something. Even a sinner man is blessed. What do you mean? The grace of God is spread out to him. Now, whether he accepts it or not, it's up to him. But the grace is out there. Why? So because God loves everybody. He is not. He said, I came to seek and save all that was lost.
Amen.
He didn't come to condemn. He didn't come to condemn. All these folks on TV condemning this one and condemning that one. Jesus didn't condemn anyone. The only one I was teaching the Sunday school, the Bible class this morning, the only ones he got into it was the Pharisees and the Sadducees because they were constantly attacking his ministry. Jesus began to tell them who their father was. He said, ye are your father the devil. And he wasn't talking about Lucifer. He's talking about this guy right here who when they knew God began to glorify him, not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain. Vain means to become empty. They became vain in their imaginations and their reasoning. Or the imagination means reason. They became empty. In other words, they had the life of God in them. They had the light of God in them. They had the knowledge of God in them. They had the wisdom of God. But they decided that they're going to depart from that.
Come on now.
And go into their own. So God says their foolish heart was dark. Their understanding about things was dark. Later on you read that they stopped worshiping God. Now they start worshiping idols. Or this is becoming their God.
Say that. Say that.
Amen.
Say that.
It's very important that you keep the understanding of God. That you keep the wisdom of God. That you don't die out. That's a way of dying out. Talking about death, that's a way of dying out. Okay? And so let's continue on. So their foolish heart was darkened because they emptied themselves out of the life of God. So what is death? What is it? Some think it's some vengeful spirit that runs around with some hood on.
Come on now.
And a sickle. And it just marauds over everything, just take what he wants. No, it's not that. That's man's imagination. That's what it is. Is it some kind of angel under God's control? We all go back to the Ten Commandments. Call that the gospel according to Cecil B. DeMille. When they show that hand coming down. The night that Israel gets delivered. God's death angel. Is that what it is? No. If you read the scripture, the Bible says, Jehovah said, I will go down and deliver my people. God himself, the covenant God, went down and delivered his people. He didn't send in an angel. So it's not scripture. So what do you mean it's not scripture? What I did when God was saying, you're going to talk about death as opposed to what she talked about, I began to cross-reference the scriptures in the concordance. There is not one scripture where you see the words spirit and death in the same sentence. There's not one scripture that says angel and death in the same sentence.
Come on now.
Amen.
Break it down.
So what is death? Death is a state or a condition. That's what it is.
Man.
It's a state or a condition. Well, okay, how do you prove that? Look at our salvation. What is that? It's a state. It's a condition of the soul.
Amen.
Where God has come in and set up his abode in our heart.
Amen.
Now, death is outside of the things of God. God did not have anything to do with death. When God first created the earth, there was no death. Man is created to live forever. Even the biologists and stuff today talking about man's got enough chemicals and stuff in him. He's supposed to live forever. But what happened? What happened was one man decided he didn't want to be a part of God anymore, so he left. And what he did, he took us all with him.
Come on now. Wow. Come on now.
Amen. And put us in this condition.
Amen. Amen.
Talk about condition. I'll give you another little example. Now, usually last Sunday it was outside, it was like, what, 80 degrees. In here, it was about 68. Why? Because the machine conditioned the air to be 68 degrees. As long as you're in the building, you are subject to the condition. It don't matter what's going on out there.
Amen. Come on now.
We are in the condition that we're in because of the man Adam. However, we don't have to stay in that condition.
Amen.
Once again, death is a state. It's outside of the things of God, who is Zoe life. That's a word to describe God, a Greek word, which means life in all of its manifestations. From the microscopic to the macroscopic, God is a part of all things that live, including eternal life. Now, what death did was it separated us from the eternal.
Amen.
That's what it did. Every man that is born, every woman that was born from that time on was separated from God.
Amen.
Once again, God did not have anything to do with death. Go to Leviticus, the 21st chapter. Just a couple of scriptures here we're going to read, showing about what God thought about death. Leviticus, the 21st chapter and the first verse. It says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, say unto the priests, the sons of Aaron, say unto them, there shall none be defiled for the dead among his people." The priest could not go into the dead, even if it was a family member. That's what God thought about. Jump to the 10th verse. "And he that is high priest among his brethren, upon whose head the anointing oil was poured, and that is consecrated to put on the garments, shall not uncover his head nor rend his clothes. Neither shall he go into any dead body, nor defile himself for his father or his mother." Letting you know that God is outside of death. He does not have anything to do with it. He did not have his ministers have anything go apart or take part in it. The other members of the family had to do it. That changed when Jesus came.
Yeah.
All right.
Why is that? Because when Jesus went in, they didn't stay dead.
Amen. Amen.
When the high priest went in, they got up. They received new life. We are to stay in that life. Now, we have that life. We have that salvation. We are not to become a part of the things of death. Those things, dead works, dead ideas, dead thoughts. Because those things have a way of infiltrating. That's why even in the church you'll see folks talking about suicide. Why? Because that mindset will get in there and will convince them. See, that it's your own mindset. That's why the Bible says, "Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." Because that old mindset will want you to go there. In other words, through your situation and your circumstance. In other words, you be sick for a long time. You get tired of being sick. Folks will convince themselves it's time for them to leave. No spirit come in there. They will convince themselves. Folks will use circumstances to commit suicide. In other words, somebody don't like them, and they'll set a trick thing up within their own mind. If nobody don't come in here and greet me or shake my hand, nobody loves me. So they confirm that, and they go down that road.
Yeah.
Because this This mindset, this state, this condition is anti-God. God who is life, this is anti-life. It wants you to, it wants to destroy you. Let's continue on. Let's go back to let's go to John 10th chapter. Come on, give God some praise.
Amen.
I know this is a little bit strange, but like I say, we have to know who and what we're fighting up against in order to win the victory.
Amen.
Because there's going to be folks that don't want to live, and you're going to have the words of life to convince them otherwise. You're going to have to know Jesus so that you can talk to them. You're going to have to know Jesus so that you can expound the word. And it's not about a bunch of preaching a lot of times. It's about encouragement. It's about love. It's about peace. It's about joy. That you spread this so that folks can live. Let me tell you something. Jesus didn't always quote the scripture, too, but he had such a way about it that folks wanted to live.
Yeah.
Amen.
We're talking about the woman at the well. He didn't condemn her. By the time he got through, the whole family was coming down. Why? Because of his words of love.
Yes.
That's what this is all about.
Amen.
Come on, give God some more praise.
Amen.
John 10 and 10. This is a familiar passage of scripture. You're still talking about death. A dead man. It says, the thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. The thief. Well, who is the thief? We've just been talking about him. He stole the whole human race. It was an inside job. Say again, it was an inside job. Because he was inside the things of God in order to do it.
Amen.
He knew God. He walked with him. He talked with God. He knew God's mind. And God knew his mind. God revealed all of these secrets and revelations to us, just what he, to him, just the way he does to us. He didn't hold back nothing. We just sung that song, withholding nothing. God did not withhold anything from him.
Man.
But this man decided on his own. It says a thief, and that's the one who uses craft, or being crafty, or being sneaky.
Now
he don't come except he don't come in no for no other reason except in order to steal from you.
Come on now.
Steal life. He'll steal knowledge. He'll steal peace.
Come on now.
He'll steal joy.
Amen.
And the way he does it, he'll do it by stealth. He'll do it by fraud. He'll do it by in secret. A lot of times, let me tell you how that flesh works. That flesh, you'll be at home, quiet, and all of a sudden somebody will be on the phone or somebody knock on your door. Here they come, and they bring a whole bunch of mess. All that peace and all that joy that you just had is just gone. You just poured it out. And a lot of times when they leave, you don't even know what happened. That's the thief. He just came in and he just stole. And to kill. What? To kill your life with God. To kill your peace and joy. To kill and offer a sacrifice. Now Jesus said for us to be, we're to become the sacrifice. This guy wants to sacrifice you. And to destroy. That means to utterly destroy. For you to lose utterly, to be lost not only to yourself, but lost to the shepherd and the flock. Because we are a part of each other, so if one of us leaves out of here and is destroyed, it hurts. We have to be mindful of how we treat each other, what we say to one another. God gives the instruction. We have to, once again, our mindsets have to be transformed by the renewing of the word. So then I begin to speak and say what Jesus. It takes time. It don't happen overnight. Folks think you come in here, you give your heart and life to God, and you get saved and every something. Now you can get up here and preach and teach. No. It's just like a job orientation. You got to go in there and you give. They orientate you with the job. You got to know what they got something they expect out of you there while they're talking with you in the interview to see if you match up for the qualification. Sometimes you may have the qualification, but the personality don't match. So they're going to get you out of here. Bible says Paul didn't use neophytes. They're talking about newcomers. They had to be trained first to know what to do, because guess what?
Amen.
We get in here and mess folks' lives up.
Amen.
And you only get one go around with this.
Come on now.
Right.
One. Like I said, ain't no reincarnation, ain't no coming back. Folks think that. No. Jesus said once to die. After this, the judgment.
Yeah. Amen.
So he comes to steal from you. He comes to kill and to destroy. Now Jesus says, I came that you might have life and that you might have it in abundance. Abundant life. Where that life is peace. There's joy. There's salvation
Hallelujah.
In it. There's healing. Everything that you have need of is contained in that. He says, I am the good shepherd. I am the shepherd, the good one. Because there's a lot of shepherds and they not good.
Yeah.
Why you tell by the word of God?
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
He said, I'm the good shepherd. The shepherd, he says, that layeth his life down for the sheep.
Exactly.
This thief that we just got to talk about, he takes life. Jesus gives life.
Amen.
Come on, give God some praise.
Amen.
Go to Corinthians. We're almost done. 2 Corinthians, the first chapter. Nobody is immune to situations and circumstances. I mean, you heard our pastor talk about it. I'll try to practice this, that we don't take things personal and that things come up. But anybody can be affected. 2 Corinthians, I'm sorry, the first chapter, we're going to start at the 8th verse. This is Paul talking. He says, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure.
Mm-hmm.
This is the apostle talking. This is the one that raised the dead, wrote 3/4 of this Bible. He's talking about he is pressed out of measure, above strength, in so much that we despair even of life. So in other words, death comes where it's talking about situations and circumstances trying to overwhelm you.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Trying to convince you to leave here.
Right.
Talk to anyone. You stay in a situation, like I said, you stay in a situation long enough. People, strong people, and all of a sudden they become sick and you stay sick for a long time. You want to leave. You want to get away from the pressure. You want to get away from the act. He said, we had, 9th verse, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raises the dead. They said they had no more resources. When you begin to run out of your own resource, you have to turn to God who has all the resources.
Amen.
Sometimes we try to rely on our own strength and our own abilities to help people and our families. That's not going to make it.
Amen.
Paul was saying we despaired of our own life here and had the sentence of death. In other words, the only answer that they could see out of all of these things was death.
My Lord.
But he also knew, he said, that we should not trust in ourselves, trust in our own resources, but in God which raises the dead.
Amen.
Who delivers us from so great of trouble and will deliver, and if we continue to trust him, he will continue to deliver us.
Amen.
So what about this death? We're delivered from it.
Amen.
It's plain and simple. We're delivered from it. We're free from it. Now, yeah, it says once to die, but I'm talking about I don't have to be afraid anymore.
Right.
Amen.
Folks, Christians running around in fear. They're running around in fear about dying. They're running about fear of this. We should have no fear about it. Let me tell you, it's one step to another. When we leave here, it says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord.
Amen.
So I'm not worried about it. Okay? I'm not fearful about it. I don't, you know, when we were children, you'd be overwhelmed. Now you'd be careful, but not to the point where we're anxious or have anxiety about it.
Right.
so that we're fearful about it. Because a lot of folks, you know, folks in there, sometimes we go in there and minister wrong to people in the hospital.
Amen.
So instead of courage, then they leave, they're in a worse shape when we leave. We're supposed to be the life giver. We have to be careful about what we say.
Amen.
It's not about a show. It's about life.
Amen.
It's not a game. It's not about competition.
Amen.
Let me tell you something. I don't compete with Pastor Relevant. I don't compete with Pastor Gardner. I don't compete with Pastor McTeer. I don't compete with our evangelist, Reverend Grant. I do my job.
Amen.
And we all fit into the body.
Amen.
The heart don't do what the lungs do. And the lungs don't do what the pancreas do. It all has its own function to elevate the body. Each one of us in here have a function to elevate the body, to cause life to come in, to cause peace to come in, to cause joy to come in. If we're not doing that, we need to go back to the book and get some more instructions, because God's got plenty of instructions for us all so that we can do the right thing and cause people to live and not die. Come on, give God some praise. Go to Revelation. And we're jumping. Revelation, first chapter. Revelation 1 and 18. This is Jesus talking. He says, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and have the keys of death and hell. I am the living one.
That's right.
And yet I became dead. I became dead. The reason why Jesus became dead is because he had to break that state.
That's right.
Man.
That's right.
Man.
He had to break that state. The only way he could do it was to come down here, took part of the old nature, he got it from his mother, overcome it. Overcome it. Now, like I said, I'm making a lot of Catholics happy, but Mary, the one that gave him his own nature, God was his father, Mary was his mother.
Come on
now. Now, Mary was smart enough to be in that upper room when the Holy Ghost came.
Amen.
Okay. But he overcame it and died in a state, a sinless state.
Show us.
And when he comes back, now, in the same way Adam took us out, he can bring us in.
Yes.
He said, for I'm the one that lived and yet became dead, and yet I am living, am I, forevermore. And have the keys of death and hell.
Yes.
That word hell means the grave, the power to hold you in it, the power to separate you from God. He says, I've got that power now. I hold it. Therefore, anybody who wants to come to me can come. That's why you, as members of ministers in your family, you continue to minister. I don't care how bad them kids acting. I don't care how bad the husband or the wife is acting. You continue to minister that word, because the keys, Jesus got the key, and Jesus is in you, and you are a minister of life, a life more abundantly. Therefore, you can do these things. We were condemned, but we're not condemned anymore. Why? Because the law of God has freed us from sin and death.
Come on,
give God some praise. So I don't have to be afraid about death anymore. I don't have to worry about dying. I got people that I want to see on the other side. But in the meantime, while I'm here, and God's got me here, I want to do what he said so that I might promote this life that he so graciously gave unto me, because others need it. Others have need of it. He said the fields are full and the fields are white with people that need a touch from the master's hand. And it's up to us. The preacher can't do it all. The teacher can't do it all. The evangelist can't do it all. The prophet can't do it all. The apostle can't do it all. But you, God's raised you up, and he put that power in you, and that you can overcome death. He overcame death in you when he put his nature in you, so that you got the key. You got the key that unlocks life in him by the so that you can deliver. Put the word of God in so you can help Jesus set free. We're working together with him. He's telling us what to do and what to say. All we got to do is go. Go, 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 go. And folks going to get up. Folks going to get saved. Folks going to get delivered. Folks going to get set free. Come on and give God some praise. Hallelujah. Want to do. You can't flip and flop like a fish in a pan, but you got to stand up straight, make up your mind, put on the whole armor of God and go out there and do battle. Do battle for your loved ones. Do battle for the ones that hate you. It don't matter. Jesus did it. He gave his life down and he took it up again and he spread it out so that we all have life and more abundance. Come on, give God some praise. So what do you do when you come to somebody? You tell them they can live and not die.
Yes.
You tell them by the word.
Yes.
You tell them God loves them.
Yes.
Tell them God loves them. They may not understand it, but tell them I love you. God loves you. God lives in me and I love you. So he loves you.
Yes.
And you can make it. You can overcome your problems. You can overcome circumstances. Why? Because he's the problem solver. He is the answer to that man's problem. Come on, give God some praise. Everybody stand.